Stupidity has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gott, a man I consider a personal hero, an icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gott providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gott's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the number one podcast on the planet. Please subscribe, rate, review. The Stu Gott's Army came strong for me on Around the Horn this week. Highest rated episode of Around the Horn in the history of that show. I need you to come strong this week. I'm not certain we'll be able to do any better than what we've done this week, and I'll get to that in a second, but I need you to download, I need you to subscribe, I need you to rate and review, and then I need you to unsubscribe and resubscribe and re-rate and re-review. Now, on to Around the Horn and this episode of Stupidity. Stantic, I made my debut. It was like 3 or 4 years in the making. It felt like a decade in the making. I made my debut this past week on Monday, a career highlight for me on Around the Horn. Did you check it out?
I did not.
Go f*** yourself. I mean, seriously, I've done lacrosse now. I've done Around the Horn. I'm building my brand, and in large part, I'm doing so to make Stupidity more successful, and you don't support anything I do except the thing that pays you. I mean, go f*** yourself, dude.
You know what's funny is for years and years, I was on the Stu Gott's campaign to get you on Around the Horn, and I was happy that you made it, but somehow I just lost track of time, didn't watch.
What episode is this of Stupidity, by the way?
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's 9.
Yeah, you think it's 9.
Yeah, it's 9.
It's the 9th episode. Okay, so have you listened to any episodes of the podcast?
After I post them? No, come on.
I mean, seriously, you are a fucking asshole.
Have you?
No, but I want everyone, listen, listening is optional, okay? Listening is optional, even for me and Stanzik, okay? Subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Tony Reale is the host of Around the Horn. He is one of the greatest people I have ever encountered in my entire life, and I say that without ever meeting him physically, but he joined us on the podcast. He is the host of Around the Horn, had a big hand in getting me an opportunity on Around the Horn. I am telling you, what we are about to play and do is probably as good as this podcast is ever going to get. Enjoy a conversation with the legend himself, Tony Reale.
Stupidity!
Oh, yeah.
All right, Stu, good Tony is there on the landline.
Yeah. This is the good stuff. This is why we do it. A nice little victory lap afterwards. Yeah, sure. All right.
Oh, please, don't let it be a victory lap.
How do you feel? We're not rolling now, right?
We're rolling, Tony.
We're rolling? Good. Let's play this all out then for humanity. How do you feel right now, Stu?
I feel f***ing tired, to be honest with you. And not so much because of Around the Horn. That was an enjoyable experience. You guys made it easy. It's just good. Everywhere. Good. Like, I made the joke to Levitard when I left the radio show today, Tony. Hey, I'm just going to go drive to another place, which is my house, and I'm going to start talking. Because all Dan and I do is f***ing talk all day.
Yeah, yeah. This is right. And here, let me tell you where I was yesterday, because I don't remember a whole lot.
Right.
Because as you recall, I was chloroformed by Woody Page. I
mean, yeah, right, of
course.
Where
does one even find chloroform these days? But there was a real, what have we done? What have we wrought? When we had a co-conspirating moment of Woody and Stu Gott's that we unleashed upon all of television. And this is where I was as I went home last night. I was literally the Alonzo Mourning gif. You know the one. I was on the bench questioning life, but slowly coming to the realization that this is a new reality. That's where I was. I mean, so kudos to you for having me have that life realization.
Listen, I know you guys are going for credible journalist on that show, but yes, in 2019, I have, in some weird way, I have become kind of, I don't want to say credible journalist, but I don't think people care as much about credibility as they used to. I think they just want the clowns, you know?
No, you are sub-credible. You are below credible. You are 6 feet below credible. Let's not get anything mixed up here. But in a related story, we're also going for ratings. That was the highest rated around the horn ever on a day we went from ESPN to ESPN2 to ESPN News because of preempting by baseball. So, I mean, the Stugatz Army, God bless them, they followed it around like a pack of mangy dogs following an old man dropping crumbs off an ice cream cone. The proof's in the pudding there.
Tony, I'm telling you, they never fail me. I mean, Stanzik, by the way, did you get that on tape? Did you just get, Tony Reale just admitted the episode, the one episode that I was on in which they muted me at all costs. Stanzik, do you have that on tape that it was the highest rated episode of Around the Horn ever?
I do, and I gotta be honest with you. Tony, I know you got a lot of energy, but I've never heard you like this. You are like frothing at the mouth.
I love you still. There are a few things if we want to just take this down a bit. I mean, straight for a second?
Yes, but I do want to tell you, before you talk straight, I do want to tell you, by the way, Tony Reale, at Tony Reale on Twitter, Around the Horn, 5 Eastern every day, on the mothership on ESPN. I'm very pissed at Major League Baseball. We will get to that in just a second because, I mean, that Cardinal Pirate game started at 1:13 f***ing pitchers. Baseball needs.
Yeah.
And by the way, we did a poll. And we did a poll today. What would you rather see, Around the Horn or Pirates Cardinals? And 84% of our audience said Around the Horn. So, I mean, that says something about baseball. So they were mad, too.
They didn't do us any favors yesterday.
No.
But I'm not worried about a return engagement, Stu. I'm not worried about you coming out and giving your best right into my face. But there are some things that we can talk straight for a second.
Let's talk. Yes, but I will tell you at the end, I want you to do two things for us, all right?
Yes.
You are going to predict. They're going to spring this on me. So Stanzik has spoken to Mina, to Sarah, and to the Iceman,
really?
Frank Isola. He has gotten their reactions. I don't want to hear the reactions. I just want you to guess what their reactions are going to be, and then we'll match them up when we put this together. And then me and my wife, you're the points guy. You assign points to things. I thought I had the best job at ESPN, but no, it is Tony Reale. I want you to assign points to two arguments me and my wife have been having. Okay.
Oh, good.
I'm going to bring her in here very quickly at the end of this, and you will grade these. So go ahead, have at it. Give me the full Tony Reale.
I was breaking down the tape. I was.
You were breaking down the tape.
I'm breaking down the tape.
Yes.
I don't know how to say this. Can I just maybe smile more?
Yeah.
Or once?
Yes.
You have a really nice smile, Stu.
Thank you, Tony.
Your resting face is more of a, I'm sucking on a lemon, and did I mention I'm allergic to lemons? Your resting face is, I got a fart, but I'm trying to cut it off by wiggling in my chair, see if it goes away. The resting face is, I'll have the sushi at the Pittsburgh airport. So if we can get past that, you got a wonderful smile. I mean, orthodontia, possibly in your youth, right? I mean,
yes.
I mean, so let's see if we can do that more. Also, I can't legally ask you to drop pounds. I didn't say lose weight.
Right.
I got my legal team here. Just tighten what you have. Don't make everything smaller, actually. Just your head.
Is that the reason Levitard's never been on the show? I mean, weight issues?
Yeah, that too. I mean, because it's like a watermelon on the end of a toothpick. I mean, it's possible it's because you have incredibly small shoulders for an adult human.
Right.
But, I mean, this is where we are. I know you do radio. The camera adds about three chins. So,
so
if it comes off like a dozen for you, I mean, just tighten it up a little bit. But everything else looked great on film.
If I can explain myself for a second, I wasn't smiling because I was f***ing muted 13 seconds into what it is I was saying. And I don't care. The penalty for you guys muting me is going to be a guy who was talking in a little box with no words coming out of their television. I am not going to stop talking. I think you guys enjoyed that. I thought that was actually
That's a win. I love when you guys try to talk through the mutes. I mean, I think it's a wonderful thing. Just maybe hit the gym once with the shoulders exercises for the shoulders you don't have. That'd be great.
Okay. And my rebuttal to all of this would be highest rated show in the history of Around the Horn. I mean,
I love how you're hanging on to that headline. I believe the next sentence was on a show that went from ESPN to ESPN2 to ESPN News. But highest rated was part of that sentence.
So I want to ask you, because you were great to me. You really were. I mean, listen, life is funny where I won't, you know, I've never spoken to Tony Reale my entire
life.
It's
amazing, right? We have no relationship. We have zero relationship. This is right. Incredible right here.
And then on Sunday, you know, a couple of mentions cutting it up, you and I talking while Duke Michigan State is going on. And so now we've talked every day since Sunday. And so life is funny there.
about the whole, you know, Duke Michigan State was going on. With it's not me, it's the suits, Stu. I mean, that's what it is.
Right.
You know, they ask full-time employees of ESPN, you know, sports trivia tests. That's what they do to prove they know sports.
Right.
You know, I know you've gotten in from the radio side and through all things Miami and Levitard, but around the horn panelists, you know, as we know them, have to really pass some sports trivia tests. So I know we were watching the game. We were chopping it up during Duke Michigan State.
Sure, yes.
Well, let's just say this. I'll give you a test right now for when this comes if you want to be on Around the Horn on the regular.
Sure.
You know, they're going to ask you trivia. So just break down Texas Tech's roster and run to the Final Four if you can. You know, just real quick, just so the suits who are listening to this know that, you know, you can bring it.
All right, so listen, this guy, Culver, I'm telling you, man, I've been saying it all year. He is a top 7, top 8 pick. He's a lottery pick in the NBA. Some people say they think he's going to be a lot better than R.J. Barrett of Duke.
Who are these people, by the way, when you hear these things?
Billis, Greenberg, all the regulars. And then I will tell you, what they had, and no one thought they had this, they have experienced guard play, they're tenacious on defense, and Chris Beard, I'm telling you, one of the most underrated coaches in America. And I said it before the tournament started, Tony, don't be surprised if the Red Raiders make it to the Final Four, and here they are. And here's another thing, I'm telling you right now, what is in Chris Beard's future is eventually he will be driving in his car, and what will be in his rearview mirror is Lubbock, Texas. How about that?
That was the analysis I needed. Oh, this is so great. We had this conversation 2 days ago. I'm going to say it again now because it still cracks me up. They have a paisan on their team, Davide Moretti.
Yes.
Let me hear the music in the words when you say it. That kid came from Bologna, Italy.
Right.
Got off a plane in Lubbock, Texas, and thought, this is America right here. He had to find a place to eat his first day coming off the plane from Bologna, Italy.
Right.
And he's in Lubbock, Texas. He ordered spaghetti and marinara. It came out egg noodles and ketchup. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I love
this Texas Tech team. And you're right. Oh, Chris Beard and the boys and, spread the floor and whatever you said, which was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yes,
I just gave you 10 points for it.
Thank you. Senior guard play, 10 points. I could have used those 10 points yesterday.
You really, really could have. That was a one-off with Woody Page. You're going to get the real deal. Maybe it's next week for you, and we'll see how you hang in there with a bunch of other panelists. Maybe you don't get Mina and Sarah and Frank Isola. Maybe you have to go up against Callis Shaw and Bob Ryan and Jackie McMahon, who've got some pointy elbows.
Listen, the more credible people, the better. Like, the older and more credible, the better it is for me. Okay,
it would be pretty great to say Hall of Famer Bob Ryan, Hall of Famer Jackie McMahon, 7-time Sports Columnist of the Year Bill Plaschke, and Stugatz.
Yeah. I am so great. Stanzik, I'm telling you, the best move I ever made. I don't know if it got me on Around the Horn or not, but that Father's Day thing I wrote for ESPN.com that I had Levitard write for me, that was the smartest thing I ever did. Sorry, Dad. I love you, man. He edited it. He edited it, Dad. So listen, I have wanted this, and it was, Tony, it was not a good day. It was a great day. You ask how I'm feeling. I've been floating. Yeah. I've been on cloud nine since we did it. And I think the audience really enjoyed it. I've been trying to get on the show. It feels like a decade, but it's really been like 3 or 4 years. So how did that decision finally come down where you guys are like, all right, you know what? Stugatz, let's give him a chance here.
Well, here's how it plays out. I mean, we get that from a bunch of people, too, Stu. You're not the only one who's been pounding the pavement trying to get on. I mean, we've got 4 spots, 5 shows a week, 20 spots available. And we have a stable that we love to go to. And at some point, you know, we open up the doors, we open up the books, and, you know, Mina comes to us, and Pablo comes to us. I've been in a hermetically sealed room, going through tape, right. Listening to podcasts.
Yes.
I think stupidity is great. I think the numbers, certainly suggest that people are here for that. So that was one of the things. Not that changed, but I mean, it's something that you've added to your portfolio.
Sure.
I believe you would say recently, and then you know what. I didn't even realize it was April Fool's initially, so I can't say I was trying to pull one. But when we recognized that it was, and we could have some fun with it, and we could tease a few people, we were here for that too. So, I mean, that was the confluence of it all. Well, we're not so different, you and I, if I can make this into like an evil villain in a Bond movie at the end of the movie, right?
Please
before.
Please do. I mean, Tony. Yes, I said there's a little bit of Stugatz in everyone, so go ahead.
My sensibilities, and that's a great line. My sensibilities, I mean, regionally, we have a lot of similarities, I think, in our sense there. So what I love about Around the Horn is, well, it's much like those Pinochle car games I had growing up that I saw my grandparents and uncles playing. In Staten Island or Sunday dinner or, you know, the barroom discussion. And I'm looking for people always who are filling out, you know, I don't want to say anybody's playing a character, but we're all cartoon characters in our own life.
Sure.
You know, I'm a smart alecky, hyped up, over energetic dude, who kind of has his heart outside of his body sometimes and is prone to cry on TV. Well, that's the host of the show then. But Woody is a crazy uncle that is also a 13-year-old boy. And Frank Isola, I mean, Frank Isola looks and sounds like New York City. I mean,
yes.
That chin.
Yes.
I mean, that's like the map of Brooklyn right there. So Stu's bringing a lot to the table too. And I just referred to you in the third person.
Yes, you did.
But,
I noticed that.
And that's one of the things that actually draws me to you. I mean, you are both in the first person and in the third person at any moment. and I mean that in both a compliment and an absolute destructive takedown of you. How can be both in the first person and in the third person at the same time?
It's possible.
I really like, you know, putting a few ingredients in there and seeing how it all. I really wanted to see you with Sarah and Mina and Frank. And that struck me also with the increased reps all the guys we've have been having with you, you know, on the radio show and doing stuff in Miami recently. So that's what turned the tide, I think, if you really want to get to the genesis of how did you break me down completely? How did you get me to a nub of a man at home breaking down film? You did it. You broke me. I became a nub. And you became a panelist on Around the Horn.
And that's how it works. And then my army is just relentless. Like, you were mortified, right? When we announced that we were doing this on April 1st, they were coming at you hard.
Oh, they were coming at me hard. Yeah. And that really, I loved that part of it because it really, at some point I began second guessing myself. What have I done? should the joke be to call it off? That would be more mean than I would typically like to go, but I'm not above that. So there was a real opportunity there for the rug to be pulled out from under you and to declare war and to pull and maybe see how long this war could go. That was in the back of my head.
I think it was.
We can fight other battles going forward.
Yes.
I think we're going to have some real competitive moments with some of the panelists. Honestly, I think Frank and Tim Kalishaw, I would not. I'd sleep with one eye open if I were you.
Okay.
They're very much, they want their shows, and somebody coming into the show might be stepping on their ground a little bit, but also they want that airtime. So sleep with one eye open.
Okay, well, I tell them when they produce the highest rated show in the history of Around the Horn.
On ESPN2, then ESPN News.
They can get as much sleep as they want. I'll be sleeping like a baby tonight, okay? I mean, that's it. So listen, I want to tell you, one of the underrated parts of me, I mean this sincerely, okay? Just to be serious for a second.
Why do you always say it like that? Like I'm
Because I'm never
that's
serious.
The case, Stu, then everything you just said is absolute BS.
Well, it was.
Just so you know that, if you're telling me this time it's sincere, then I have to degrade everything you just said or downgrade.
That's it, and you probably should. I want to get this out because I was telling Dan this. In fact, I said it on the air. Behind the scenes, if you don't mind, Tony, one of the most underrated parts of doing that show for me was watching the way, because we had Woody in studio. He's normally in a box like Sarah or Mina or Isola or any one of the panelists.
Yeah.
The way you, the care that you expressed to Woody Page.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
No, it was like, it was like watching Dan do HQ with his dad, where he's just very patient, very respectful. And I gotta tell you, I enjoyed, I'm getting sappy here for a second. I told Dan it was so nice to see Tony kind of coddle Woody Page and help Woody out in a tricky spot, because I was saying I'd be intimidated by that entire studio and the buttons and all that stuff. And it was just nice to see, Tony. It really was.
Thank you. I'm in it for this. This is why I'm here. I stopped making TV 1,000 episodes ago, you know, years ago. I say to people, you know, and I'll say this to you as you appear more and more, I'm trying to make you forget you're on TV.
Right.
Which may be tough because the camera loves you and you love the camera, and I'm not sure who loves each other more, Stu. Right. But I'm trying to make you guys forget you're on TV. I'm trying to get to a real moment. I'm trying to get to an authentic moment. This is how I've grown into a host, maybe. This is possibly because it's the only way I know how to live my life, you know? I mean, so I'm trying to make you forget you're a TV. I'm trying to go for relatable moments, predictable moments. This is a little bit too much TV 101 maybe, but this is the secret sauce for me, you know? And it's been 3,660 episodes still. Yeah. I mean, that's an absurd number.
Yeah.
How can a human continue to do that every single day? Well, here's how I do it. It's become not my TV show, but it's become a pulse in my body. You know, it's part of who I am. So I knew exactly what Woody was going through. I knew how he wanted to play host for a day, but I knew how frightening it is to be host for a day. Three cameras, seven people in your ear. Now you got a grade 7 tornado named Stu Gotts on the show, too, who's trying to take over the show. I mean, Woody, you know, we know what that is. And I knew I wanted him to be proud of the work he can do. I knew I wanted – you wanted to be proud of the work you're going to put out, and this was a big opportunity for you. And every time we go on, it's a big opportunity for all of us. So it stopped being a TV show, and it's now – you know, I want to make it a real moment for all of us. And how did I come to that? Well, part of it's Dan, actually. I know Dan and I differ in a lot of ways, and we're similar in a lot of ways. He's trying to make the most awkward moment at all times, radio, television. Well, I'm trying to make the most real moment at all times in all television. And I think that's what maybe you got a glimpse of, and you'll get more of that. You will.
Yeah, Tony, but I will tell you, with all that said about us and our radio show and Dan, and I'm happy to hear that you said you got it from Dan, because I tell people all the time, Dan's probably – if not the kindest soul I have ever met, and probably the kindest soul I have in my entire life outside of my wife. And I'm only saying that because she's, you know, in the house right now. But he is just a kind soul. And so, yes, we're always going for that. But Dan also knows, he just knows me so well. So he knows the topics and certain days where he has to just kind of not push so far. And I think that's important. That's an important ingredient of making not just a radio show, but any show work. It's just knowing the cast around you and knowing, you know, if they're in a good mood, bad mood, likes, dislikes.
I mean, let's stop talking about TV. Let's stop talking about radio.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
For me, the most, the word that comes back to him, and this is through having lived, you know, especially hard the last couple of years. We lost a son in delivery. We've had some challenges building the family that we've always dreamed of and I'm blissfully happy for. But I also need to recognize you can't go through life just being the most energetic, blissfully happy human. I am happy. I am energetic. You could ask Dan going back for the 15 years that he's known me. Yeah. But you also have to be real to everything else that's in the world, and that's what I recognize. So when I'm saying let's not even talk about TV here, the word is encourage for me. I go back to this word all the time in my head, and this is maybe what you sensed yesterday. In order for all of us in this world to get to any place that's going to be better at any moment, any place that's going to be more rewarding, more enhanced, we need to encourage each other. And that takes work. That takes courage. Courage is in the word encourage, and that takes our, which is also in that word, O-U-R. So yes, I just went full sap on you, and you didn't even see it coming, Stu. But for me, it's how we encourage other people is how we're going to get the most out of just about anything in life. And yes, it's a fun TV show with a mute button and a scoring system that is impossible to describe. It's a fun TV show where we're bringing in new friends, you know, every year, you yesterday, and even one of an old friend to host the show. But we got to encourage people even through all that, because that's how we're going to get to a better place.
That was well said. At Tony Reale on Twitter, and of course, the host of Around the Horn 5 Eastern on the Mothership. clip, except when I'm on, and then it's on ESPN News because baseball gets in the way.
But it's
Tony,
very highly rated on ESPN News. We can't overlook that.
I'm very happy about that. All right, so listen, before I want to get you out of here, okay? So unbeknownst to me, Stanzik has had conversations with Mina, with Sarah Spain, and with Frank Isola, the Iceman, and they have critiqued my performance Monday on Around the Horn. So I quickly want you to predict, you know them very well, what is your best guess as to what Mina Kimes said about my performance?
Well, Mina, I think, is unabashedly in love with all things Stugatz, and I think Mina is also deferential and respectful of the Army. So I'm not going to say she's going to cater to or couch her criticism or review in any way that would minimize any blowback, but I will say Mina's going to say that you took the ball and you ran it over the goal line, you matriculated up the field 3 yards at a time, and she's doing this all in her football analysis voice.
Yes.
And that yours was a, well, unquestioned success and one of the best debuts anyone's ever had in Around the Horn. That's Mina Kimes.
All right, perfect. Sarah Spain?
Sarah Spain, I think Sarah Spain is a tour de force, which is not even respectful to tours and forces, because that's how big she is. I think she is cultivating in a way that she would see you as both a competitor, but one that she can dominate. So she will give you praise, but with a purpose to annihilate you in the long run. So she will say that I saw some glimpses of greatness there in the analysis, but also some blind spots that we would like to explore in further episodes. And she would praise you as well and give you an overall B+ with room for growth, knowing that she actually wants to explore some of the weak spots that she undoubtedly found in you.
She is she's my biggest fear, because we have done so much work together. She knows all the blind spots, and she's going to.
I mean, seriously though, I'm not lying. Force of nature, yes. And that is not respectful to forces of nature. They got no shot against Sarah Spain.
That is so well said. All right, and finally, the guy that I have the least amount, I have a great relationship with both Sarah and Mina. I know Frank. I don't have quite the relationship with him that I have with them. So the Iceman, Frank Isola. What do you
think? Frank Isola, New York born and raised, family of NYPD. I think he would view you in that way, with a suspicious eye, as an individual walking down a shaded corner of the street. I think he would say this is a man who may be carrying a weapon with intent to do ill will to somebody at any moment in the discussion. I think he would characterize you as a competitive banterer who has the will to do what others won't in an argument. And that is something that he would dock you for and be very suspicious of, and he would look at you in a shifty way. That's Frank Isola.
I think you probably nailed all three of them. All right, before we get you out of here, I want you to assign points to a couple of arguments that me and my wife have had.
Let's do this.
All right, well, hold on. Let me just get, hey, Tony, one second. I'm just going to get her, okay? One sec.
Tony, this is my favorite part. He grabs his wife, and he hasn't told her anything that we're going to do. And then she gets on. She's like, what are we doing? And has no idea what we're doing. And then
that's probably what happened on their honeymoon night anyway.
Yeah.
Reality. This is reality.
There we go.
Prepare yourself, Tony.
Let's keep going on that. That's a good one.
Put that in the interview. Tony, this is it goes without saying, this has been tremendous. Thank you. Are you ready? Hold on. Get ready.
There it is. I don't even know what I'm doing. Told you, Tony.
Yes. This
why am I
like,
here?
You learned that from Stu.
Yeah.
That's Stu's exact line on the honeymoon night. I don't even know what I'm doing. What's happening here?
Abby, you good?
What happened?
Turn around,
hold on.
So, Abby, if you can hear me, you got me there?
Yeah,
okay,
I hear
perfect.
You.
All right. So Stu probably hasn't explained this. But
no, but it's okay. I'll explain it out on the fly here.
Okay, there we go.
All right. So let's bring my wife in here, Tony. Abby, say hello to Tony Reale. He is the host of Around the Horn. That's the show I was on Monday. Do you know?
Yes, when they threw the guy under, when they... He got
thrown
to the
ground.
Yeah,
I was the guy who was chloroformed
and
then didn't get a chance. Hi, Abby.
Okay.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
She asked me. I mean, no joke, Tony. I'm sitting in that little box. Like. So after the show, Abby and I didn't watch it together, but she's watching the beginning of the show. So she's upstairs last night, and I'm downstairs. And she said, what the f*** did that old man do to reality?
I thought you were going to come back. I kept saying, is he going to come back on? And he didn't understand what I was saying. I said, I thought they were going to throw you to the ground and then put you right back on. I didn't know it was going to be like the whole show.
Who can find chloroform these days? Well, Woody Cage can. Yeah, I don't know how.
All right, so Happy, what Tony does on the show is he decides your fate. He essentially gives you points based on the points that you are making, okay? So, and if you have enough points at the end of the show, you advance on to the final round. Got it?
Okay.
Okay. So you watch Around the Horn. You watch it every day, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm a regular.
So, and Jackie McMullen's your favorite.
Thank you for watching, because yesterday we had the highest ratings ever.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder why.
ESPN show that went to ESPN2 and into ESPN News, but the highest ever in that instance. So we appreciate that.
I'm sure it was because of John.
Listen, they made this podcast bigger than Oprah's. So, I mean, and they'll do the same for you, Tony, okay? I'm telling you. Yeah. Stay on this side, okay? See, that's what Mina learned. Staying on my side is a lot easier than staying on Levitard's side, right? It's just, it's easier. It's happier. It's a happier place. All right, so I want you to help us out here. Here are two recent fights that we've had. We actually had, we ran one of these by Adam Gase, the Jets head coach, me and Abby did.
I'm sure he was wide-eyed over that.
No, he loved it. He did. But he was, here's
you
one
get
of the
joke. It's all right.
All right. Oh, the wide-eyed. Damn, I f***ing missed that.
Stay with me, Stu. Come on. How are you supposed to make it in the Around the Horn if you can't keep up with it?
Well, I mean, listen, because I got my wife in the room, so I'm all distracted now.
Oh, please.
Why? Oh, good. So it's just, so still that way for you guys. Wow, you hear that, Abby? Just one look in your eyes, and he's a mess. It's
yes, I'm
this
sure. That's exactly.
That's great. So here are the fights, okay? And Abby, just chime in whenever you want. First fight. We are at an age with our kids, okay, who are both 15 years old. They're in high school. They have their driver's permits. And unbeknownst to Abby, they've been driving for a couple of years now because I've been taking them out on the road in the car. But the one fight that we continue to have is a yield sign. Here's all I'm saying about the yield sign, okay? When you get to a circle, we have many circles in the neighborhood we live, okay?
A roundabout. It's called a roundabout.
Roundabouts. When you get there and there's a yield sign, you survey the circle as you're approaching the yield sign, Tony, and if there's no one in that circle, you gun it. And that's what I've taught my kids to do. Abby, tell Tony what you've taught the kids to do, because she has taught them how to do something completely different.
No, it's not completely different. You think that I taught them to stop at a yield sign. No. Well, first of all, they're just starting. They're just beginning to drive. So, yes they are coming to, like – they don't have to completely stop, but they have to sort of stop, look around, look both ways, and then they don't gun it, they go. So he's thinking I told them to make a complete stop, look left and right. No, no. I'm just saying, because when you drive for the first time in your life, you probably should be more cautious. I mean, you should always be cautious, but I was saying they should, like, plan on stopping just in case a car, like, be ready to stop if you have to. That was my point. So he's saying,
yes, because you're a normal human being.
Right, exactly.
You don't need to interpret what a yield sign.
Who takes a 13-year-old on a highway to drive? Exactly.
Nobody says, well, yield, implicit in yield is the opportunity to gun when it's all over. No.
Right, exactly. I mean, gun it.
You survey that thing. Reality, be honest, okay? Like, I'm trying to teach my kids.
I'm 100% honest. No, Abby gets the point. Ding.
Thank you.
How are we even having this conversation? This is my life that's in your children's hands while they're driving, Stu. What are you doing?
Old wide eyes agreed with me, I have to be honest with you.
No, he agreed with you at first, but then when he heard my explanation, he agreed with me.
Yeah.
He probably agreed with Stu first because his eyes are so wide open as he's approaching the yield. He sees cars that are miles away, so he knows exactly where everything is going.
Yeah, I was pissed at Gase, but then he got Le'Veon Bell and I forgave him. So, anyway, the next fight, Tony. So we just had a recent fight. We had our baseball draft. I had a couple of friends over. They come over every year. We did the draft at the house. Now, one of my friends pointed out to Abby and said to her specifically, hey, you got to clean out the air filters. You got to clean out your water filter. And Abby says to my friend, hey, why are you telling me this? Why aren't you telling him this? To which he responded, because I know he's not going to do it. And Abby said, these are things that men do. And to which I responded to her, this is something that you should be doing unless you want to get a job and work and earn some money.
I do it. But my point was that he was speaking to you and I was laughing as he was telling John, because obviously – he wouldn't even know where the water filter replacement is or the air filter or anything like that. Right. So I said, in a way, not that men have to do it, but typically you might know.
Who changes the light bulbs in the house?
Me. I do everything.
You don't
do everything.
Who does the laundry?
Okay.
Who folds the laundry?
You fold the laundry when I'm sick.
Who walks the dog? Who brings out the garbage?
Dog. You walk the dog.
Right.
I mean, and you roll the garbage to the end of the driveway. You do.
Right.
You okay. roll
with
the garbage.
Toilet-related situations, who plunges the toilet?
Me.
Yeah. Listen, I'm
busy. You own a snake in the house. Is
he
there
keeps saying...
She married one.
He keeps saying, I can't because I work. He thinks because he works full time or till 1 o'clock. That's full time that right. he can't do anything past. He cannot do anything past that. He keeps saying, but I go to work. I mean, he thinks he's the president of the United States. He definitely does not think he has time for anything else but work. But I work. But I work. But I work. You can't change a light bulb. I work.
She schooled me. She schooled me.
Wow. You can't change a light bulb. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm too busy. I got podcasts.
He's too busy.
I got Around the Horn now. I got HQ occasionally. I got a radio show. And I'm coaching our daughter's lacrosse team. I mean, I provided her with such a great life, reality, which doesn't do anything but change light bulbs.
Abby, can you critique his coaching style on the lacrosse team? Can I hear a little review and a little taste of how he's like on the sidelines and how he works the reps?
Go ahead.
I don't even know how to explain it anymore. It's really something you have to see, because when you explain it, it's just not as good as really seeing it in person. I mean, he walks back and forth with a stick from 1970 that he bashes in the ground every time someone makes a pass that he thinks or...
No, I never get mad at the girls. It's always the referees. I don't get mad at our team.
Well, I mean, you get mad, but you don't yell at them. But I'm saying then you're just pounding the stick in the ground. You know, the refs are always wrong. And then I say, why'd you yell at them? You're always on their side. I said, no, I just, it would be nice if you could, you can have a conversation with the refs rather than yelling at them.
Let me ask you, who has the number one team in the country? 2022.
Is that all you care about? Well, is number one team, full-time job, providing a house, you know?
Yes.
I mean, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
At what point, Stu, what's your highest level of playing lacrosse?
I played in college. I played college 4 years.
Mm-hmm. What college?
Clark University.
There you go.
Never heard of it.
That's a four-year school now. Okay.
It's a four-year school. Now, listen, I still have some of the records at Clark University. And so, I coach this team. Here, Tony, here's the best way I can describe it to you. I once got kicked out of a tournament. And by kicked out, I mean kicked out of the entire park. Because the referee would not let something go, and afterwards I said she had some sort of Napoleon complex, okay? She threw me out. What did I do? I drove to a store, okay? Threw me out of the park, okay? I drove to a store. I got a Bobby Valentine-type disguise. I came back. I'm not joking. A little mustache. I put it on, and I coached our girls, unbeknownst to anyone. I coached our girls from the parent side. I just acted like a parent, but I was coaching the girls with a big fluffy mustache disguise. How about that?
Abby, I don't know what to say. I mean,
Thank you.
The only thing that comes
just say
to
you're
mind
sorry.
Is how.
Just say
how
you're
does
sorry.
This happen?
How, just say you're sorry.
Real quick question. This might be my only opportunity to ever. How did he propose?
How did he propose?
In the most cliche way ever.
What, a hotel room with flowers on the bed? And well, we did go away to one of our favorite, in the Keys, one of our favorite places.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah,
it was very, how'd you imagine I did it, Tony?
Well, I was just imagining there was a sweaty mess, you know, a pool of sweat, and you never actually asked the question, and you forgot the ring somewhere, and you had to use something that was close by to pretend to be the ring, so a Tootsie Pop at some point was involved. That's what I was assuming.
Listen,
pretty close.
I think the party got right was there was definitely a lot of sweat involved. That was sweat.
I will not judge anybody's proposal. I got engaged in between the men's and women's bathroom at LaGuardia Airport, so. That was romantic. So that's how we
did. Did you really?
We do it
really.
Absolutely,
hysterical.
Abby. Oh, I lost the ring.
I mean, I love New York.
I didn't judge somebody's character by how they proposed. I was just wondering.
Was that an accident, or are you just...
The ring was in a box, in a shoe, in a bag, in a hotel room. The hotel mistakenly gave it to somebody else. All right, let's go around the horn. Let's go all into the story, all right? It's in a box, in a shoe, in a bag at the Chambers Hotel, very nice hotel in New York City. My wife and I go out dancing at the Dominican Day Parade. We come back. Hello, Mr. Rielli. Where's your ticket for the bag? Oh, yes, thank you, Mr. Rielli. Whatever you need, Mr. Rielli. They open up the safe in front of me. The safe is empty. Okay? They said, no, Mr. Rielli, it's in the backup safe. I said, backup safe? The whole definition, the whole point of a safe is that you don't need a backup safe. They go to the backup
safe.
They come back empty-handed. Oh, Mr. Rielli, I don't know what happens. Oh, I go outside. I'm getting ready to vomit all over 57th Street. Sammy's like, oh, what's happening? What's happening? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, they lost our bag. It's got our car keys in it or whatever. Then a New York City porter who looks like he's a central casting out of a movie from 1974, a fat paisan with a walrus mustache. Oh, we located the bag. It's at LaGuardia Airport. What? Oh, yeah. We gave the bag away to another hotel, client. And when they got the curbside check-in at LaGuardia, they called the hotel, and that was the only way they would find it. We jump in a town car with the manager. My wife or girlfriend.
Wait, didn't your girlfriend, didn't she think, yeah, what'd she think?
Thought nothing. She thought it was normal reality behavior. There's a little Stugatz in everybody, yeah, Abby, okay. And there, there was plenty in me, especially in my 20s. Yes. I'm outside the window like I'm a golden retriever trying not to vomit as we make the ride out to LaGuardia Airport. We get to LaGuardia. I see this couple from Iowa or someplace that I've never been to with the bag.
Love it.
I feel a little bit better. I get to them. I knock them over. I rip open the bag.
Oh, no.
See the shoe still there. Rip open the shoe. See the box is still there. Rip open the box. See the ring is still there. Oh. Pull Sammy in between the men's and women's bathroom at LaGuardia Airport.
So romantic.
And I propose right there.
No way.
You get down on a knee on that airport.
Wow.
So that's why.
And what were you planning on doing, though, at the hotel or wherever you were?
I was probably planning on flowers in the hotel room or something like you just said. Something uncreative like Stugatz just came up with. Yeah. No. Yeah, I needed to get the ring out of my hands as quick as possible.
That's a great story, though. That's actually a really good story.
So, yeah, the plan was to name our kids Fiorello and LaGuardia at the time. but that one didn't really stick. No, so we have a Francesco and an Enzo right now. So,
did you have insurance on that ring or no? You had no insurance on it?
Didn't at the time. No, did not at the time.
Lucky
out of my hands. We do now. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Though it was
how long
a
ago
long
was
way
that?
To get there. What was that, Ed?
How long have you been married?
We've been married now for 10 years. We've known each other for 17 and a half, and this is what she's come accustomed to. You know, I roll with life. That's kind of how I go with it.
Your kids will like that story.
Yeah, that's a great story. All right, so in terms of the arguments in this household, so I feel like I won both, right? I won both?
It's definitely 2-0, Abby, and you get no points. And may God have mercy on your soul. FaceTime goes
I appreciate
goes
it.
Yeah. All right, Reale, get out of here.
Answer,
check him out on
answer.
Twitter, at Tony Reale.
I'm not going to say you're the best. I always sign off every phone call with you're the best, whoever I'm talking to. But you're getting pretty close still. We'll see. You got to get through a couple around the horns of me hosting, but you're pretty good at this point.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. You're the best, okay? I'll say it, all right? You're the best. At Tony Reale on Twitter, around the horn every day, 5 Eastern on ESPN. Tony, thank you, man.
Peace.
Stupidity! Stanzik, you know what time it is, right?
Tiso time.
It is Tiso time. Tiso is the official watch of the NBA and the official watch of Stupidity and the official watch that is on my wrist right now. I never wore a watch until Tiso sent me this beautiful watch. I'm telling you, I'm not a watch guy, and I have not taken this watch off since Tiso sent it to me. It is that beautiful. I love it. And more importantly, my wife loves it, if you know what I mean. Each one of Tiso's timepieces delivers quality performance and traditional luxury. Again, they are the official watch of the NBA. The Tiso Chrono XL is a great watch for those looking for a sporty chronograph with Swiss technology at an unbeatable price, while the Tiso PR100 family of watches brings together sporty and feminine details for a collection that is bold, romantic, and ideal for the modern woman. Shop Tiso at us.tisoshop.com and at select watch and jewelry stores nationwide. That is us.tisoshop.com. Stupidity! Stanzik, I don't know about you. Abby's left the room. I don't know what she's doing. I know she fell in love with Reale. I am swooning right now. I don't know if we could do any better than what we just did.
Stu, I got to be honest with you. I don't even smoke cigarettes, but I need one right now. That was electric.
I have the same feeling. Where is Mikey C when you need him? In fact, I don't need one. I need two. I'll smoke them at the same time, and I think I probably need a sandwich. Like, that was better than sex for me. After sex, I have one cigarette, a sandwich. After Reale, I'm telling you, I need two cigarettes at once, a sandwich, and perhaps a glass of whiskey. Stanzik, did you notice that sound that Reale made to start the interview, that sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I think that's how you and I felt, and Abby, a similar reaction to the sound that Tony made to start the interview, and this was the reaction the three of us had, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, holy shit, that guy lit up the podcast world. If we're not number one after this week, I am going to be pissed off. All right, let's get to the sound here. You have Mina, you have Sarah Spain, and you have Frank Isola?
Correct.
So we asked Reale what he thought they were going to say about my performance on Around the Horn. Let's go to Mina first.
So far be it from me, the student, to rate the teacher. It feels like ratemyprofessors.com. I wish I could leave this review anonymously, but people know it's me. But I'll be honest, Stu was perfect. I don't have a single criticism for the guy. How could I dare to criticize such a hot take master? Not only were his takes significantly hotter than anyone on the show, including myself, but he also somehow found a way to go first every time, which, having been on Around the Horn dozens of times, I don't think has ever been accomplished. Typically, you go around the horn, and it rotates, hence the name. It was really more like Around the Stugatz, which would be a good show. I said at the end of the show I wanted to have him back. I wasn't joking. I meant it. He makes the show better, just like he makes literally everything he does better.
All right. Thank you, Mina. I think Reality nailed that. Like, he nailed exactly what it is that Mina was going to say. By the way, check out the Mina Kimes show featuring her dog, Lenny. It's part of Levitard and Friends, a podcast network. You can subscribe, rate, and review. Please subscribe, rate, and review, because Mina is the best. She's fantastic. Her football knowledge is as good as anyone at the networks. Stanzik, you produce that podcast, right?
I do.
And who does she have on this week?
She has Spencer Hall of ED, nice. SBS, and SB Nation. They focused a lot of their conversation on draft talk, and she says that Drew Locke, this quarterback from Missouri, has a 15% chance of being a good quarterback in the NFL, and he's probably going to go in the first round.
A 15% chance?
15, yes.
15% chance. Okay, do you listen to her podcast?
No.
You are a motherfucker. All right, let's go to Sarah Spain. What did Sarah Spain have to say about my performance? This is going to be wordy, right? It's going to be a lot of words. She's going to blast me, Sarah Spain. Sarah Spain, what did she have to say about my performance on Around the Horn?
Stugatz on Around the Horn, a dream realized, a life spent in pursuit of a goal that finally came true. Of course, it was April Fool's, and it meant absolutely nothing, and the show was completely off the rails, and Woody Page scored about as well as I would have in second grade with a rudimentary understanding of numbers, points, and how games work. But that being said, I think Stugatz was a champion in all the ways that Stugatz is. He interrupted people. He didn't realize when he was being muted and continued to talk and didn't know none of us could hear him, so that when he became unmuted and yelled out, "I said that!" we all had to inform him at the commercial breaks that we couldn't hear it because he was muted. In the end, he got destroyed by his good pal Woody, who he tried to pay off at the commercial break via Venmo with the old okey-doke, sending Mina to the FaceTime instead of him, despite him feeling like he was cruising to victory. You can't win on your first try. And I really think that Stugatz was made for the show, assuming that he can get his fiery hot takes into more bite-sized pieces, that he can follow directions, do hard work and prep, study the topics, engage responsibly and respectably with the other. Who am I kidding? All the things I've named are things that Stugatz can't do. No, this is not a good fit for him. A wild horse cannot be tamed, and Stugatz needs to live and run free at Stupidity and the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz, with the occasional appearance in an ill-fitting suit on Highly Questionable. But I love you, Stu. And, you know, if you ever ask me in person if I think you should do out Around the Horn again, you know I am absolutely going to say to your face that that the answer is yes, and I miss you every day.
Oh, the Stugatz is strong in that one. Sarah, I love you, too. Thank you for making me feel right at home, and I will be back, and I am coming for that title, okay? Check out her podcast. That's What She Said with Sarah Spain. Amin El-Hassan is her guest this week. Please download, review, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. Do it for Sarah. Support Sarah. Support Mina. Support her dog. A guy you shouldn't support is Frank Isola. What did the Iceman have to say?
I would say, Stugatz, a couple of things. Number one, you're a New Yorker. Stop trying to act like you're from Miami. You got to get a little bit more of a New York edge. That's why people like us, because we're obnoxious. So
no one likes you.
More obnoxious. Also, when you're trying to match wits with Mina Kimes, it's not worth it. She went to Yale. I get it. Her parents paid the golf coach $500,000 to get her into Yale, but she still went to Yale. And Sarah Spain went to Cornell. Really not an Ivy League school, but she went to Cornell. So stop trying to outsmart everybody. Just be yourself. Be the one and only New Yorker / Miami guy, Stugatz. That's how you hit it out of the park.
I mean, they don't call him the Iceman for nothing. That take was cold. Stupidity! All right, let's take a quick time out here from Stupidity, because you guys need a job, all right? And I'm telling you, hiring is challenging. But there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. StuPod. I am telling you, back when I had a real job, I wish I had ZipRecruiter, or I wish I was using ZipRecruiter, because they have made hiring simple. I can't tell you. I had a real job. I was the GM and vice president, major market radio station. I was Lebatard's boss. How about that? And people would walk into my door applying for jobs they had no business applying for. And so what ZipRecruiter does is weed all the bad candidates out and gives you the good candidates. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. How about that? As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. Stugatz Army, come strong here. Support the people that are supporting this podcast. ZipRecruiter has been doing that since like the third or fourth episode. So support them. I need you to support them. And you need a job. And people need to hire the right people. ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. That is ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. That's ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Stupidity.
All right, that was a really fun episode. Not certain we could do any better than that.
Oh, yeah.
Next week is Masters Week. Maybe we can.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you how we're going to try. I'm not saying we will, but we're going to try because this is my favorite week of the year. It's the only thing I've been consistent about in my entire life. This is my favorite sporting event. It is my favorite week of the year. And my attempt to do better next week than what we did this week is to have Mike Greenberg on to discuss the Masters.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly how I feel. I am so excited for this. Me and Greeny, a couple of mensches cutting it up, talking about Augusta and a green jacket.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm going to bring my dad on. I'm going to have my brother on because I've told you a million times the Masters in my household was like a religious experience.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk to my dad and my brother. Plus, we're going to have Abby on because I have a very specific set of rules during Masters Week in this house. And Abby's going to explain to the audience what those rules are.
Oh, yeah.
And she'll do that if she hasn't left me for Tony Reale.
Oh, yeah.
Stupidity. Stanzik, before we get out of here, just dawned on me. I love the Golics. I am an official member of that family. I'm like a son to Mike and Christine. We need to have them on this podcast.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm all in.
Okay. We need to make this happen, and we need to make it happen soon. By the way, did you know they have their own podcast?
They do?
They do. It's unbelievable. I'm going to tell you why it's unbelievable. Because it's Mike Jr. It is Jake. It is Jake's wife. Have you met Jake, by the way?
I have. He's scary.
Yes, but he's very nice. But they're all scary, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, if you didn't know him, yeah, and I don't really know Jake, so that's probably why I think he's scary. Because if you just saw Golic, he'd be like, this guy's terrifying. He played in the NFL, but he's actually really nice.
Yeah. The whole family, I love them to death. I really do. And so the whole family has decided to get together and do a podcast. Again, it's Mike Golic Jr. It is Mike Golic Sr. It is Jake. It is Jake's wife, Jenny, who I am told is a star of the podcast. It is Sydney, who I am told has the hottest takes of anyone in that family. You've met Sid, by the way?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely a Golic.
Definitely. And you've met Chris, Golic's wife, right?
Yes, yes.
So she came, I did a show with Mike one time. In fact, I had to eat a piece of paper and I did it live on air. And if I ate it, I became an official member of the Golic family. She came in to watch that live and to meet me. And I love her to death. And I consider her to be like a second mom to me. She is awesome. So, they have a podcast and it's my idea. In fact, I gave this and I'm outraged. I gave this idea to Golic Jr. back when we were doing Weekend Observations. I said, you need to do a podcast called We Are the Golics. Bring in the entire family. It'll be great. And he has stolen the podcast and put it under a different name. It is called Sorry in Advance.
Is that his way of apologizing to you?
It should be, right, for stealing my idea. It's available right now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. We're going to have them on next couple of weeks, right? Stanzik, make that happen.
Done.
That's a tough get considering you produced a show for 15 years.
I'll work on it.
Stupidity! Download, subscribe, review, rate, unsubscribe, subscribe, review, rate. Do all that stuff. Do it for me. Do it for Tony Reale. Most importantly, if you don't do it, Stanzik's going to get fired.
Oh, yeah.